This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The lineup of Liverpool didn't affect our idea that was to play a good game. We knew that Liverpool put fresh player, the intensity could be high intensity in the game. So I think the defeat arrived because we were not able to keep high intensity in the second half. We lost energy, we lost confidence. I think we were not able to build up quick from the back, and so for this reason we were not able to keep the same idea that we had in the first half to attack their defensive line.
Exactly the player we wanted, exactly the player we wished for in a game, in your first game in a team. You don't know if it's a settled team. It's already difficult. This game, this team, we threw more or less on a pitch with two sessions together. And then showing this kind of game understanding, football skills are exceptional. Attitude is outstanding. Leaded the chasing pack so often in different situations. I loved Jack Ross. He didn't look tired. We just won. Because we don't know him that long, we just wanted to save him a little bit, to get him off. Was a nice add-on to have Oxley back, because he looked really lively when he came on. Yeah, it was super.
Off the Ball kicks off now on BFM 89.9.
Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp talking about the new signing, Minamino. And before that was Carlo Ancelotti, Everton boss. It is Off the Ball, New Year edition. I'm Ross, and in the studio with me, we've got Gogolin.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, hello, Gogs. Craig Moraes is also here.
Happy New Year.
And Des Corkill.
Not only Liverpool, but celebrating a classic third round of the FA Cup. It's not all about the big clubs.
Des is the next education minister in Malaysia, by the way. You heard it here first.
Tweet Des at BFM Radio. Follow us on Instagram and on Facebook as well. It's BFM Football. We heard Jurgen Klopp and Carlo Ancelotti at the start. It was the Merseyside derby, the standout tie of the third round of the FA Cup this weekend. And going into the game, Jurgen Klopp surprised many. It was a very young lineup. There were, three debutants. Minamino, we know, came from Leipzig. Nathaniel Phillips, who played centre-back, and Yasser Larouchi, who came on as a sub, played on full-back position.
Left-back. Algerian fella. Very good.
And Everton, pretty much full-strength squad, 11 out there. And, yeah, the longer it went on, you just...
Wow.
The first half they were in it, yeah. Right, Everton?
Well, first of all, it wasn't a surprise because Klopp was alluding to the fact that he's not going to play some of the kids during for the FA Cup. But, yeah, you're right. The first half, Adrian saving with his feet, three or four shots at goal. And after that, they just petered off.
What a goal it was, though, by Curtis
Jones. What a goal.
And the all-round play of Liverpool just tells you that there's a philosophy, not only for the first team, but for the second team, and even the kids who played against Aston Villa, two of whom played in this game as well, the game in the Carabao Cup, mm-hmm. that they're playing this 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3. They're pressing high. Everybody's bought into it. There's a conveyor belt of right backs. Williams is another Trent Alexander-Arnold. Yeah. Chiarravella did brilliantly. Adam Lallana, wow, it's like a new signing in the heart of midfield. What this does, I don't have enough superlatives for Jurgen Klopp, but he's got this ability to just make everything right.
I think at the moment it's more of a case of the confidence on the red half of Merseyside. It's going through the club. I mean,
there's a 16-year-old kid out there playing and a debutant. Yeah. And
I mean, 16-year-old kid. I mean, he's an incredible talent.
If Klopp picked the tea lady, do you reckon she
would have got two? Yeah, at least at the very minimum.
She'd be pressing high too.
She would, absolutely.
but you look at it and you look at how Carlo Ancelotti and I think he's going to look back at this game and think, wow, okay. I mean, it's not so much how they played, because they could have wrapped up the game in the first half. I feel, you know, if it wasn't for Adrian in goal. Who made a couple of terrific saves, I thought. Richarlison had an attempt Can't remember who the other one was, but
they were both straight at him, and he saved with his legs. So it's not a case of they're clear cut chances.
How many of those have you seen go through the keeper's legs? Yeah. But what he's done is he's adjusted his feet.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just stood there, and that would have been point blank
again.
Let me just say,
signed Adrian on a free. Oh, who else saw that?
Okay, so based on squad selection by Jurgen Klopp and Ancelotti and the way it panned out, Everton deserve all the mocking.
Yeah,
obviously. Yeah. Right. Look, Lynn's been rather quiet on our group chat. Yeah.
But you've got to look at it. And you know, like I said, you know, if you're Ancelotti, I mean, you go into this, you see the Liverpool team sheet and you think, okay, I mean, we should be winning this comfortably. No disrespect to some of the senior players that played. But, you know, on paper, there's some of those guys who haven't played more than five times for Liverpool or three even. But you're talking about, as Des said, you know, a 16-year-old kid, an 18-year-old kid from the youth academy, some guy that's just a centre-back, Phillips, that's just come back on loan from the Bundesliga.
Bundesliga 2.
Bundesliga 1. You know, the left-back that comes on to replace Milner. Norucci, yeah. You know, I don't think he's ever played for Liverpool before.
Just in pre-season in the States. So, there's a lot of talk about these kids. Yeah. Everyone says, yeah, they're good, but then to actually go and do it in a derby against Everton at Anfield in front of full house.
Yeah, I think one of the most amazing things about it is some of these players played in that drubbing at Villa.
Only two.
The central midfielder was Pedro played. And he didn't have a great game against them. Yesterday I thought he was really good.
Yeah, he was really good. I want to ask Des. Des, was Jurgen Klopp conning the public a bit because the stars weren't playing? He was naming a kid squad.
He's definitely got his eye. I think everyone on Merseyside has their eye on the league championship, which is only halfway over.
Secondarily,
you're looking to retain the Champions League. And he said this in as many words. Has he disrespected the cup?
Yes,
I think he has.
Yeah, exactly.
I really think he has. But he's beaten a first-class team, so has he disrespected the cup?
He's gambled and he's won. That's about it.
Yeah. But it's a deserved win. It's not a fluky
fair enough,
win.
But we'll go to the crux of the matter. The question was, did he disrespect the cup? And he has.
Yes, right.
I mean, you look at what Dean Smith said over the weekend, you know, and he says the FA Cup has lost its sparkle.
It loses
its sparkle when, you know, no disrespect. I mean, they went out and won the game, but in all respect to the players but in all respect to the players that played, you know, they're not paying money £40 or £50, whatever it was, to go watch Nathan Phillips play at centre back, to watch, I don't know, Curtis Jones playing. I mean, that's not what they've paid their big money for.
Take your big club glasses off and you talk to a fan of Port Vale who took 8,000 to Man City. You talk to the fans of Tranmere who took 3,000 to Watford, came from 3-0 down. You talk to the fans of Rochdale, 10,000 against Newcastle United.
I'm talking about the money that Liverpool fans spent last night. And I don't think they've paid £40-£50 to go watch, you know, 18, 16, 17-year-olds go.
They knew
that was going to be the team.
But they knew that there would be a weekend
team. They're going to be changes, but to that level?
Yeah, I think there was...
But that was disrespecting the fans also. Yeah, that's what this Craig's saying.
All right.
I'm not disagreeing with that one, but I understand what he's doing. But my argument on this is the Cup was always a time for shocks. Remember when Arsenal were league champions, they lost the 92nd place Wrexham? That was Arsenal not disrespecting it. It's just different. The Cup early rounds is all about the giants
it was,
and the smaller clubs
but now
getting their opportunity.
The FA Cup is losing its sparkle because big teams are turning it.
It's not for us in Malaysia. It's for the 8,000 Port Vale.
The FA Cup is losing its sparkle. Thing we used to watch.
The FA Cup is losing its sparkle because big clubs and Premier League clubs is going down. Premier League clubs, not just the top four, top six anymore.
Yeah.
Premier League clubs.
Every club in the Premier League
are rotating their teams and they're playing the second teams and making
except
changes.
Everton. But then you
except Everton.
The argument is
Leicester and Spurs.
The argument is in round three. In January, first week of January, it's after all those
games.
It always
Christmas.
Was after the games. Nothing has changed.
No,
nothing. But the stakes have gone higher now. You cannot afford to be out of the Premiership. Teams like Villa.
You're making it pure business.
Okay,
it is a business now. It's become a business.
All right. Therein lies
and Klopp showed it last night.
Therein lies a problem for me as well.
Let's move on. Dean Smith will not be disrespecting the FA Cup because Aston Villa been knocked out. Fulham 2, Aston Villa 1.
I said a silent prayer last time.
Well, would you have wanted Villa to put a full team and made it to the semis or made
We don't have a squad. We've got ravaged by injuries.
Would you have wanted them? If you went to the semi-finals, quarter-finals,
we're already in the semi-finals of a cup right now.
Imagine if Grealish had pulled.
So we had to make a concession, and the FA Cup was the concession. We're already in the semi-final of a cup.
So that's disrespecting. But I still think there's great stories. That poor Vale lad who scored against John Stones. That's sensational journalism.
We'll come to that later.
I've gone through your whole running order. Sorry.
I know. can we Fulham under Scott Parker?
Yeah.
They're actually quite good this season.
I mean, they're all right. They've been a bit up and down in the Championship.
Yeah. They're in the mix.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of teams in the mix, to be fair. I mean, you know what the Championship's like.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Cogs knows it better than anyone else.
So does Arvin.
Yeah. It's so topsy-turvy, you know. You could be on top at Christmas by a comfortable lead and nowhere near the playoffs by the end of it. But this Fulham side, you know, they've got a few good players, you know, getting like players like Harry Arthur, who scored in this match on loan. You know, he's a Premier League player. And obviously he's taking his talents down to get some game time.
It's a nice goal as well, isn't it?
Yeah, great. Yeah.
I mean, that goal, come on, top corner.
I mean, you talk about Curtis Jones and everything, you know. You get one like that. I mean, this is an example of, you know, you look at it and say, oh, it's an upset Championship team beating a Premier League team. But like Gog said, you know.
You get the feeling coming into this one, Scott Parker and Fulham had less pressure probably cared about it more as well than Aston Villa.
Yeah, but they got more games in the Championship. So, you know, like you said, it's going to come thick and fast. And they've got to start deciding also.
I guess
Premier League will always be the primary. I mean, if they're near the playoffs, you know, one had to give, you know, it would be the FA Cup.
Your generation is so cynical, I'm hating.
We're just being realistic.
It's cynicism, it's money rules.
But you're
going to
clock in the Times, Des, whatever you like it.
You just said the clock that prioritizes.
I think he has disrespected, but he's put together a really enticing group of youngsters to go out and beat Everton, so he's disrespected in some ways, but he's gambled and won. For those who who haven't got a second team who are as good as that, that's a problem. That's disrespectful.
What would we be saying if he'd lost that one? If Everton had come out 4-1 winners.
I would have been devastated because I was at Anfield the last time Everton won, and I still get stick over it. But had dark hair then, and before I came out to Asia, he would have got a lot of stick. He would have.
Wasn't there one of the players on the lineup that hasn't been born since?
There were about five of them.
Definitely one of them.
So he would have got a lot of stick because it matters. It's the biggest game, so it was a gamble. Mm. But Kloppy, I tell you what, he can get away with a lot of stuff.
This is it. Yeah. All right. The early kickoff provided our first shock of round 3, Brighton 0, Sheffield Wednesday 1. I'm old enough to remember Sheffield Wednesday being a Premier League team.
Howard Wilkinson.
Yeah. Steve Bruce scored 2 goals against Wednesday. Mm, yeah, that pivotal.
They also made 2 cup Premier finals League. In the same
they
season.
Also
come
two
on,
cup
let's
finals.
Not make it Man United. I'm old enough to remember them. I'm old enough to remember them in the 66 FA Cup final.
Oh, no, I'm there. No, I'm not there. I remember Chris Waddle playing for them.
You kids.
This was a good win. And again, Brighton played the shadow squad. They played.
Not really. I mean, they had a few first team players that played. You know, I think if they look back on this, you know, it's credit to Sheffield Wednesday because, you know, you have players like Shane Duffy playing, Adam Webster, who's been a mainstay in that defence. Daryl Stevens plays a lot for Brighton as well. Malpai, Pascal Gross. You know, it's a strong squad that he put out, albeit with a few changes here and there. But
7 changes he made. But, yeah. I mean, it would have been nice, right? Brighton, you probably need a cup run, right? Someone like Brighton.
Yeah. Well, they made semi-finals last year.
Exactly.
I'm one of these where I don't get the... If you're playing Europe, yes, there's a serious number of games, but I don't get a league team thinking that a couple of extra cup games will really make that much of a difference. Yeah. I don't get it.
I'm with Des
on this one as well. Yeah.
I do think, you know, he could have easily played a full squad. Yeah. And, you know, he's chosen not to. And like I said, I don't... you can talk about, you know, switching the whole team around. I think the side that he fielded was strong enough to go out and win this game, yeah. and they didn't. So I think that's why I'm looking at the other side of it. Yeah. I'm saying Sheffield Wednesday actually deserve this win.
And again, look at the number of Sheffield Wednesday fans down for a great day out in Brighton, making a heck of a noise. Great fans. You look at the number of Leeds fans down to take on Arsenal today. There's about 10,000 of them there. It's a big day. It's a big day in the football world.
No one's saying it's not.
You are. You're decrying
it.
You're saying just because the big boys don't take it as seriously, it's not a great day.
But the big boys used to take it seriously.
I say it's a huge day despite that.
The big boys used to take it seriously.
For certain teams.
Hang on.
For the rest of football. Football's not just about the top six.
The Aston Villa manager, Dean Smith, actually came out and said why it's lost its gloss.
He played for Walsall.
No, I mean, the fact that he said ridiculous kickoff times. He said even the latter stages and the final, you've got league games going on
exactly
on that day. He said it's just not special.
Why
anymore.
Are you not blaming TV for this?
I'm not blaming TV. I'm blaming the Premier League for their greed in not allowing the FA Cup final to have its own day.
Yeah,
I think that's a problem.
Well, the FA should have stepped in on that one.
The FA don't have authorization over the Premier League. They can advise, they can work with each other, but they do not have final authorization.
What?
So the Premier League, they won't kick off at the same time. But yeah, it is one of the things you do need. You need the FA Cup to be on its own day.
Exactly. It's a special day out.
Last day of the season as well.
Des, what of VAR only available at some grounds?
Oh my word, VAR was there. You got me going.
Did you?
Man City ruined by VAR. There were three VAR-led decisions. Tramier, two things overturned in their game. They were nearly denied a wonderful opportunity. Thankfully, VAR got that one right, but... Ah, VAR, get rid of it.
Brilliant. We're going to let Des take a little breather. We're going to come back with more FA Cup third round next.
Literally got that.
Where's the try? And he's always prepared to give it a go.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
Captain, leader, legend.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us. Des, Craig and Goggs in the studio talking about Watford 3, Tranmere Rovers 3. Watford were 3-0 up at halftime. They were cruising it. And in good form, four wins in the last five games under Nigel Pearson. But then Mickey Mellon's Tranmere, 21st in League One.
Oh, Birkenhead is wonderful. My second team, I used to go there on a Friday
Watford
night.
The team won't think that Birkenhead's wonderful.
They certainly won't. So no. Tranmere have got one of the more famous FA Cup comebacks in the world. They were 3-0 down against Southampton, down to 10 men in the 90s. And John Aldridge's team came back to win 4-3. So there's a spirit about Tranmere. They were in the conference 2 years ago. They were down and out, got themselves promotion last year. They're struggling a bit this year. Thankfully for them, Bolton and Bury are under problems. Otherwise, Tranmere would be in real problems. But there's a spirit about that club, a real spirit about that club. And this was a fully merited 3-3 draw.
Yeah. Now, Nigel Pearson came out and highlighted the fact that he purposely did not want to injure or you know what I mean? Any chance of injury to his current first teamers. And it was illustrated because Chalobah went off injured in this one.
Well, I mean, at halftime, you know, he would have been gone in there and he'd been beaming. Smiling. And, you know, he wouldn't have had to say anything to his team because they're absolutely in cruise control with his second team.
Well, he should have.
He should have said something. When this FA Cup draw was made, you know, and you look at some of the ties that were screaming out to you, your Liverpool, Everton's, Wolves United and all that. This was not one that screamed out to you. It turned out to be the best tie of the round.
Yep.
It had everything, you know, red cards, VAR, just everything really, goals galore. And I think this is what Des, when he says the magic of the FA Cup, you know, this is exactly what it's about. You know, Premier League team, or was it League Two team?
League One
team going away to a Premier League team, getting a comeback like this. And trust me, that second leg, it's going to be...
Prenton Park is one horrible pitch.
Replay.
Replay. It's going to be. It's going to be a big day out, and the atmosphere there is going to be ridiculous.
Can you imagine Mickey Mellon's halftime team talk? Come on, lads. Come on, lads. Wicked stuff. 3-3. That's the beauty of the FA Cup. The holders, Man City, made light work of Port Vale. Phil Foden, given a rare start. He actually starred in the game. Made one, scored one. Zinchenko with a rasping opener.
On goal.
Was it an own goal?
Yeah, deflected. Did he have one chalked off by VAR or so, Foden?
There were so many VARs in this game, I lost count.
This week, anyway.
What's City's main aim here this season, then? They're too far away from Liverpool in
obviously, Champions League.
Well, Champions League, we know, but that's not coming around to February.
Yeah, but look at the squad they put out also. It was a really strong squad.
I mean, yeah, it was strong enough. I mean, you got Silva playing Aguero, you know. I mean, Foden's not a reserve player.
Reserve player,
Gundogan, you know. With certain teams, you know, like, you know, City, it's the second team that comes in. You know, you'll have World Cup winners, you have Champions League players, you know, one of the greatest, you know, goal scorers in the Premier League of all time starting for you. You can argue that he's taking it lightly, but, you know, he'd easily turn that around and say, well, it's as strong as you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. You know? No, that's my point. He played a really strong squad. It's Port Vale, you know.
Who's the striker that Pep's looking to replace Aguero with?
What, in a few years' time?
Well, no, you're talking end of next season, right? He's
I think Lautaro Martinez at Inter Milan. He's doing really well there.
He's not the same Tom Pope, I reckon. I'd have a Tom Pope would score 40 a season. 50 a season. Love the way he's taken the stick that he got for that comment on the chin and just rebounded back to everybody. He says, this is a dream. I've scored against Man City. I put my neck out there and it's great. I imagine if he came to Man City, he could be another Jamie Vardy.
At 35.
At 35. You never know.
I think the best thing about this was the fact that if you read his interviews, what he was saying was that Benjamin Mendy came up to him during the match or after the match and was talking to him. And he said, you know, the City players were absolutely ribbing John Stones for the comments. And they were building him up and just trying to wind him up, and he's actually got and scored. And John Stones absolutely refused to speak to him during that match. Refused. I thought it's class. And like Des said, you know, he took it on the chin. He's like, fine, it's not going to bother me if he speaks to me or not, but I've just got and scored against him.
But to Pope's credit, he went for the other, because the weak link
was the younger kid.
Garcia kid, right?
Johnson will still get criticism for it, you know, because he's not directly let him score, but, you know, in the context of the game, he was up against him. But, you know, Johnson's actually played fairly well in this game.
He was all right.
He wasn't too bad. He didn't put a foot wrong, if you ask me. So,
All right, so the holders march on to round four, and very unlike their City neighbours, Man United play a quite different style of football.
Sorry, I want to say, you know,
in fact, they don't play football.
Guy that was marking Pope for the goal, he also ended up scoring, didn't he?
He did.
Young kids. So that's a great story. That is a great story as well.
I like the little line Pope scored from across.
Very nice, very nice. And Jesus rising
on the bench.
Jesus was on the bench.
Wolves 0, Man United 0 for the second time this season. Second time this season, Craig Berrios. Not a single shot on target.
AZ
Alkmaar was the first one. And it's the first time domestically since, 1995, I understand. No shot on target.
Yep. And Ole's argument to that was that it would have been on target if Connor Cody hadn't got in the way of it. So it hit the crossbar and it wasn't on target. But yeah, all round, you know, it wasn't just United. You know, I mean, I think the whole buzz around this game, you know, when the draw came out. You know, you looked at it and you thought, okay, Liverpool, Everton, Wolves, United, you know, those are really good games. And they both didn't end up being great games. You can look at Wolves' team and, okay, they played a couple of the key players and so did United. But there was no real excitement in this game. You know, none of the players looked like they were up for it. It was dry. It was drab. And, you know, Wolves had their goal disallowed from Doherty. But, you know, it was just, you know, it was a late kickoff, 1:30, yeah. You know, and it was enough to put everyone to bed, I thought.
Now, we can't talk about Man United and not mention the problems that they're having at the moment. Obviously, shorn of midfield talents, injuries and whatnot. Paul Pogba's people suggesting he needs an operation.
I think Ole's come out and said he's going to have an operation as well. You know, McTominay's out for about 2 months as well.
So
he has to go into the transfer market. Well,
this is it. So when Liverpool can announce Minamino deal done and all that, United dire need even before January, we knew that the need was there. Why are there no moves made yet?
But they are. I mean, I refuse to believe that they haven't tried to get players on board. You know,
Haaland was the whole.
I mean, the Minamino one was a lot easier because he had a release clause in it, and is, you know, you pay the money and you get to speak to the player, and that runs as smoothly as possible. So you know, the club doesn't really have much say in that. But when you have a player who's under contract for 3-4 years, and you know, you haggle over the fees, and I'm sure that there's some work being done in the background. But you know, it's getting the right player, like Ole keeps saying. You need the right players. You don't want to spend.
So, who are the right players? What are the areas that they're going to buy if they were going to buy?
I mean, for this transfer window, you need central midfielders. That's it.
I'd be much, much more positive if I was a Man United fan. I'm hearing the doom, grimness, the doom, the gloom. What's happening here is a team has gone to Wolves, tough place to go, and come out with a goalless draw. It's not the best result in the world, but it's the building of a team. The back four looked really solid, even with Romero replacing David De Gea. You can almost see what he's trying to do, and games like this give players confidence.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that Wolves didn't play that well either.
Wolves weren't allowed to play that well because United are getting much more compact, maybe not consistently, but I can really see a team being built here. And then once you've got that, you might be able to get a Timo Werner, I keep hearing, for Man United. I hope not, because I think he's a terrific striker. But something like that, you're then putting somebody into a specific position because there's already a structure there. And I think that's what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is doing at the moment. And I'm hating it because I can see him building something. Maybe not this year, but next year or the year after.
What do you think, Goggs? Is Des right about that?
Yeah, he's got a point. But the point is, are United fans or the board going to be that patient?
They've got to be.
It's technically what he's talking about is a project.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. The $90 million and the $100 million didn't work because they got the wrong kind of person
in
there.
But this is Man United.
Let's compare it to Jurgen Klopp and what he's done. He's got the right personalities in there. Not huge money. Apart from Virgil van Dijk, there was a problem that specifically needed doing, but the structure was in place.
Alisson
as well. So there was a problem there. But the structure was in place before.
One of the main things about this whole project have kind of given to Ole is the time factor. And at what stage do they say that? And that's why there's always pressure on Ole. You know, you have a couple of great results in December. And then, you know, you get one bad result and straight away the pressure's on there.
Yeah.
Also because there's a manager like Pochettino available.
Yeah.
And that just adds to it. So he's always, I think he's come to accept the fact that, you know, that will always be there.
Okay.
You know? He's not
okay.
Everyone's cup of tea. It will always be there. But if the owners, Ed Woodward, you know, when they've given him this job, they said, look, we understand. Because he's made it clear before the start of the season, he said there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. It's going to be a bumpy ride. But, you know, you just got to stick with it until I get my squad. He's at one full transfer summer window. Okay. He's into his third window now. Okay. You can't really talk about the first one because, you know, he just come into the job.
I think where Man United fans get disheartened, like you say, third window, but the names being bandied about, Sean Longstaff, just doesn't quite inspire.
Yeah, but, I mean, like I say, you know, I mean, it's the project that he's looking at. He's not looking at for 1-2 because you could easily go out and United can do that and splash 80 million on a 30-year-old Tony Kroos.
Waste.
Or whatever he is. Or go get Luka Modric, who's You know, I think he hasn't had much playing time this season. Who's 33 or 34, something like that. You know, you could easily do that and then pay him, you know, 300 grand a week.
Should they do a deal on Paul Pogba? Obviously, he wants away, right?
Get rid of him. I've been saying that for 2 years. I said they shouldn't buy him anyway. They're a better club without that kind of stupidity. Gives your Tahith Chong's opportunities. Gives your Greenwood's real opportunities. Give your youngsters opportunities. You wait until United start playing well with your own players. You will be singing from a
different song. I disagree.
I think you're talking about. You're talking about.
That's true. So you don't agree.
You're talking about a World Cup winner, a world class player, and you know there's not many of them in the United squad right now.
Stinking attitude.
Yeah, his heart's not in it, right?
Well, that's what you keep hearing, but you know,
and seeing.
Ole's come out and he said, you know, he played those two games when he wasn't 100% fit, and he's aggravated it as a result. So you know, if you've got a player there that doesn't really want to play, you know. You know, he wouldn't have played those games, but he's gone there. He's tried to give it, you know, tried to give the team something. He's ended up aggravating it, and now he's out for a longer period of time. So I mean, take it how you want. You know, it's what you want to read.
What the Ross question is: Would you sell him and cash out on him?
No, because I just said because he's a world class player, and you don't want to see world class players leaving the club.
All right, brilliant stuff. Another short break. We'll come back, wrap up the FA Cup, give you the FA Cup winners and losers as well. That's all next.
Because whilst he's there, it's been very difficult for other clubs to get near them. He's that good.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
England's highest quality title race of all time, but coming out on top again in the Premier League. Manchester City.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
Thanks for sticking with us. Des Corkill, Craig Marais and Gogolin in the studio. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. It's BFM Football. Some of the other FA Cup results, obviously 32 ties, too many to cover. But 34-year-old Wayne Rooney played 2 games in 4 days. Right? Not bad, eh?
Not bad.
Derby, I was reading the review going into this game, and it said, Derby County's record at Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park is terrible. However, Wayne Rooney's record at Selhurst Park is great. Rooney apparently played a deeper midfield role, and he was getting crucial.
Saw that facial hair.
Yeah, I mean, they're unbeaten since he's joined. Since he started playing for them, isn't he? No, it's good to see how he's come over from MLS and you know, kind of slotted in there. I think you know, the short window of time between two games, you know, I was doubtful whether he'd play this game because he struggled towards the end of the match last week where they won 2-1 and he got an assist. I think this is a massive win for Derby because they've struggled a bit this season.
Yeah.
You know, they had a lot of off-field problems. Koku coming into the
suddenly
job.
You find out how good their loan players were last season.
I mean, when you lose, you know, those kind of players, Mounts, who contributed a lot of goals. Tomori, like you said, and I think you know that little incident they had off the field in the early part of the season that kind of threw, they lost their club captain and you know all these things. So I think it hampered the team quite a bit. Add to that, you've got a new manager coming in with new ideas, so it'll take a while to adjust. But with the addition of Rooney in, you know, in especially in the Championship for a team that I think Derby will be chasing those promotion places, you need someone, you know, who's got that experience, who's been there, who's done that. There's a lot of young talent in that Derby squad as well. So, you know, they're going to feed off of him. They're going to gain a lot from training and playing with someone like that.
He's going to be a Derby hero, isn't he, Des?
He's a wonderful player.
Yeah.
He's a terrific player and he's passionate about football.
And wherever
he goes, he brings energy. Look what he did in America. He took it really seriously. At Manchester United, a superhero for United for so long. Even at Everton.
Do we admire Wayne for not taking the China route and
the
big bucks?
Yeah, of course.
Bucks,
you know, the fact that he came back...
Wow. Well, he went to America as well.
America's very different. America's not just about the money. It really isn't. He was doing something there. And you saw some of the quality, some of the assists that he had out there as well. I think he took it seriously. This is just a kid who loves football.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Always has. And it's great. He's a controversial fella. Yeah. It's great.
But he's big enough to take everything on. You know, he's had it since he was 16. You know,
he's grown through the game. Yeah. He's done some, you know, crazy stuff when he was young, but now he's grown up. He's become very mature, and for a role like this at Derby, he's going to grow into it.
Well, he has his moments, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, exactly. But he will add colour.
He does. He'll add colour. And it's great. I'm thrilled to see him.
That red mist. I want to know whether the red mist is still there.
I think towards the latter stages of Rooney's career, you know, the question always is, you know, where's his best position? Is it going to be as, you know, as an out and out nine? Is he going to drop into the 10 or is he going to be an eight? And I think that's what's, you know, from 30 to what I think he's, what, 34, 35 now, to this period. I don't think he's really nailed down, you know, what is it, especially like at United. You know, he tried that midfield role, didn't really work, went to Everton. They played him everywhere, really, to try and accommodate him. Also didn't really work. They went to US and I think obviously he had a lot more time. It wasn't as quick and as fast he plays as the Premier League. So it got him there. So I think, you know, in the Championship, as long as he's got, you know, a couple of legs around him, you know he's the type that just needs the ball, because once he's got the ball, you know, he'll put it wherever he wants to because he's that good.
As long as he's afforded space and time.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll punish.
Can I bring up on this the VAR? I thought it was very worrying that for the first time we've actually seen, in Britain anyway, somebody going to the sideline and changing from a yellow to a red card.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a red card.
It was a harsh red.
And that's after looking at it as well. Yeah. And I'm kind of going, no, this is not going to end
well. But that is what we wanted.
It's still a matter of opinion, and the referee.
But we want them to go to.
We want to be able to trust these referees to make the decisions correctly.
You're not going
to
get every decision.
And you never did. Yeah. But what? You're still not getting every decision right, even with this dreaded VAR.
All right. Well, VAR also reared its ugly head in the Middlesbrough Spurs game, or rather didn't, because Jose Mourinho was complaining that Ashley Fletcher was offside. But no VAR. Because Middlesbrough are not a Premier League club. But 1-1, so replay at Spurs.
And Spurs played a full-strength squad out there.
Well, full-strength without Harry Kane.
Yeah, well, Harry Kane's. Yeah.
But so. I thought Middlesbrough were really good value for this.
Credit has to go to Jonathan Woodgate here, right?
And Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
Because I've always loved Middlesbrough.
But the Spurs old boys in the opposite dugout. No, I thought they were good. And I think, you know, with the incentive of, you know, knocking a side like Spurs out, and Middlesbrough aren't a bad side anyway.
They're struggling in the league.
If you look on paper, they've got certain players that you know have been around for a while. They've played at some of them have played in the Premier League. Players like Ashley Fletcher as well, you know, from United, West Ham. So some of them have got good presence about them, but. I thought, you know, I thought the goal was really good. That ball over the top caught the whole back line out. I think, offside, I don't think so. I thought Eric Dier was definitely playing him on. And, you know, it looked like he couldn't get the ball out of his feet, but in the end he managed to, and it was a great strike. But Spurs will struggle without Harry Kane, and that's a fact. They have to get a strike in January.
Beauty of the Cup. Tottenham going up to Middlesbrough, North versus South. Cold, wet, miserable.
Everything that Mourinho doesn't like.
Who needs radio?
14th of January, the replay slated for Spurs versus Middlesbrough. David Moyes at West Ham, 2 games played, 2 victories, 6 goals scored, none conceded. Hello, David. Moyes.
The chosen one.
He is back. David, I win, in inverted commas, Moyes. We joke, but I mean, they needed a change of manager. They positive results now for West Ham. They look like a new club all of a sudden.
Well, I mean, it's still early days.
It's still bounce. The new manager bounce is still there. It's David Moyes after all. But back to what, I mean, I'm sure you're going to talk about the Leicester game also, but these are teams that will take the FA Cup seriously because they're already basically Leicester. Look at them. They broke Champions League spaces. What else they got? They're not going to go for the league.
Well, you feel that Leicester, if they can get a trophy, that really would cement what Brendan Rodgers is doing.
Exactly. Let's talk about West Ham and Moyes, since we're on it, and not get sidetracked. You know, playing that full-strength squad, you know, especially we're in the position that West Ham are, you know, they're not too far off
far
that,
exactly.
that
they're
banner.
Not, they're not
at
out of
Gillingham.
It
at Gillingham. I mean, if they lost, you know, I think how Moyes saw this is that, you know, if they lost, you know, it would affect the confidence of the club as well and some of the players there. He's gone with a full-strength squad and, you know, it's paid off. You know, he's got the victory. It's not it's never easy going, you know, to a lower ranked team, especially when it's away. And
nice hostile crowd as well. Exactly. 11,000. But that's Gillingham's really close to the pitch.
But that's when you see like the quality and character of some of these players, you know, especially the foreign ones. You know, who are not used to
build
this
on what
kind
I was saying about Man United. It makes sense to put your first team out there and put them in different conditions to see how they respond with each other. Yeah. It's a glorified training session with an edge to it. It's makes sense to me. Take the cup seriously and you can get benefits.
All right. Sunday's 10 o'clock kick-off.
What do you want to talk about Leicester?
Go on then. What would you want to say about Leicester?
No, I already said what on the list. Teams like Leicester, Spurs are going to take their FA Cup seriously. We were talking about the teams that can afford to take their FA Cup seriously.
What about Frank Lampard in Chelsea? Does he want to win it? They beat Forest 2-0. And I watched the game, and they rested Tammy Abraham, right? Michy Batshuayi up front. And with no Tammy Abraham, they really lack something, don't they? But, I mean, Hudson-Odoi probably had his best game.
But let's not forget, Forrest also rested all their players.
True.
Most of their players.
True.
Yeah.
True. But they had this 18-year-old kid up front who just didn't stop running,
I mean, that's what you can get. Sometimes the cup gives you the emergence of these talents. But, yeah, I know, you're just talking about the Tammy
Alex
Abraham.
Alex Mighton.
Yeah.
Alex Mighton. 17, sorry. Did I say 18?
But, you know, Batshuayi. Yeah, you know, you get a chance, and I think he's been after this chance because, you know, Tammy Abraham's been playing more or less every game, and that chance that he missed,
yeah,
you know,
the one where it bounced off him, yeah.
Well, the one that came in was an in swing across and
he just needed
to get a toe, head, anything on it,
yeah,
and he just scuffed it totally, and you're just thinking, you know, it would have given Lampard a nice little problem to have. You know, Abraham or Batshuayi, because I do rate Batshuayi. I think Villa in for him.
Interestingly, Olivier Giroud was an unused sub.
I think he's off in
Germany. Yeah, he's got something going
he's
on.
He's done now.
I think Lampard has come out and said, you know,
it's Euro 2020 year as well, so he needs to get back in the France squad, doesn't he?
Well, I don't think he's going to be anywhere near the Euro squad, but it wouldn't be a bad signing for Villa either, would he?
Anyone. Because Wesley Ginger as well, isn't he?
He's out for the season.
Yeah. Wow, gosh. Yeah.
So, any other results you want to highlight, Des? Because there were, 32 ties, right? Rochdale won, Newcastle won.
Filed, going to Sheffield United. Yeah. Little tiny filed up on the northwest coast.
Population
of about 3,000. Really good to see them. And Fleetwood as well, another team who've taken football very seriously, getting a 3,000 or 4,000, I think, into what they call Highbury. That was terrific. They lost to Portsmouth, who just over 10 years ago won the FA Cup. Fleetwood, what a terrific performance from them. It's these small clubs, and I equate them to, I love these small clubs, and I'd love to see these kind of clubs in Malaysia. I'd love to see this side of the size of stadium, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, pumping atmosphere. I just say, Malaysia football guys, look at these clubs, look at what they do, look how they generate the community. There's such a good example to follow there.
Brilliant. Food for thought. Final break, back right after this.
Where's the try? And he's always prepared to give it a go.
Off the ball on BFM 89.9.
Captain, leader, legend.
Off the ball on BFM
89.9. This week's winners and losers.
Our big winner of the FA Cup third round is Curtis Jones. At 18 years and 340 days, Jones is Liverpool's youngest goal scorer in a Merseyside derby since Robbie Fowler did it in the Premier League in March 1994. He was 18 years and 338 days. So for helping guide young Liverpool into round four with that peach of a winner, we say Curtis Jones, you are Monday's big winner. Honourable mentions go to 40-year-old Rochdale substitute Aaron Wilbraham, who came on and earned the Dale an equaliser and replay against Newcastle. To Adam Reach of Sheffield Wednesday for his deflected winner against Brighton. To Anthony Knockout for making one and scoring one in Fulham's win over Aston Villa. To Academy graduate Adam Ida for his hat-trick against Preston that ensures Norwich a round four tie. To Tranmere manager Mickey Mellon for his side's second half comeback at Watford. To Phil Foden for his man of the match performance against Port Vale. To Callum Hudson-Odoi, he scored one and made one for Chelsea against Forest. To Philip Cocu's Derby County for knocking out Crystal Palace. And finally to Jonathan Woodgate's Middlesbrough, who earned a replay against Jose Mourinho's Spurs. Our big FA Cup third round loser is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. His much-changed Manchester United side didn't do much to muster a shot on target against Wolves and will now need a replay at Old Trafford. So for drawing an embarrassing blank for the second time this season, we say Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Manchester United, you are Monday's big losers. Dishonourable mentions go to Nigel Pearson's Watford for their second half collapse, to Carlo Ancelotti's Everton, dumped out of the cup by a Liverpool reserve side, to Newcastle United's big number 9, Joe Linton, will he ever score again? To Graham Potter in Brighton, seven changes to side proved too much for the Seagulls. And finally, to Dean Smith's Aston Villa, who have now gone 4 years without winning an FA Cup match.
4 years! 4 years, Cogs!
New contract.
You could nearly school a kid in 4 years. That's the your FA Cup third round winners and losers. Of course, one more tie, a big one as well. Arsenal versus Leeds kicks off at 3:56 a.m. on Tuesday morning.
I like this tie.
Do you know what I mean?
I like this tie a lot.
But going into it, Marcelo Bielsa has come out and said he's going to be playing the subs. He's got a goalie who's going to be making his debut. He's going to put three kids in there. So,
well, I mean, it's still a Bielsa squad, you know, a team that he's going to put out, and you know, I wouldn't put anything past him, to be honest. But you look over the other side, and it's the same with Arteta. You know, I don't know whether he's going to go in with a full strength squad either.
Well, he should.
He should. I mean, yeah. Right now, after a good victory, he definitely should.
You need that feel-good factor. Winning is contagious.
Arteta should be looking at the FA Cup and giving it a serious go, shouldn't it?
Looking at what his best 11 is to try and work out. Because this will be a test. Leeds will be Liverpool-esque in that they'll play the same pressing game, because that's what Bielsa does. And if they don't, he'll pull players off after 2 minutes or whatever. So Arsenal and Mikel Arteta, he's got to look at this as a learning curve and building a squad, building a team, building confidence if you get a result against Leeds, because they're still a big club and it'll be a thumping atmosphere, because Leeds, I think, have got 10,000 fans down for this and they will make a lot of noise.
Well, I would have said it would be a thumping atmosphere, but it's at the Emirates.
So. Oh, Leeds will make a thumping.
Yeah.
10,000 people singing Marching On Together can make a lot of noise.
Who's calling a Leeds away win here?
I would if he played the full team. I would have. I would have just thrown it out there. But I think Arsenal should win this comfortably.
Carabao Cup semi-final first legs. You've got the Manchester Derby happening on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. And then you've got Midlands Derby between Leicester and Aston Villa. First, the Manchester Derby. United, although they have quite a good record at City's ground, at Old Trafford, there's only one win in the last four.
Yep, one win in the last four.
What squad are they going to put out, though?
Strong squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ole will get into this with a strong squad. Yeah. You know, he's been taking the cup quite seriously.
Because Rashford was rested for the FA Cup, right?
Yeah. I mean, Martial didn't play, Lingard, but I mean, a few of them have some injury. I think Lingard and Martial missed it for illness, right?
Yeah, and we hear Lingard's got a new agent as well, right?
Riola, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
See, Des, it's all business now. Business.
And Lingard doesn't do anything.
Well, he's got his clothing.
So
line.
This
Come
is
on.
The chance for Manchester United to really build on the work of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. They've been tight. They've been difficult to break down. He's got a system in play. It's best to really test yourself against the best, and Manchester City are.
Well, he'll be up for this because they'll be attacking and they'll be doing counter-attacking play.
What's Solskjaer's KPI, Des, for this little project? Okay, end of this season, what should he have done?
I would imagine you've Champions League.
Yeah.
Top four, that'll be what he's after.
Yeah.
But if they can make it through to the final, if they can get one against City, remember when City first turned it over?
Yeah.
It was
Spurs,
on a League Cup game.
Yeah. Was it against Spurs?
But the semi-final against Man United, League Cup tie 2008 or something.
Yes.
And that was a really important moment. This Cup has a habit of producing teams that go on to bigger and better things. So Leicester in a similar position to this, even Villa's season could take off from this if they do well. But I see this as a big chance for Manchester United.
I think with United and you know, this, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Cup. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, with the position that United are in, and, you know, with Ole being in charge, I think by the time the final comes around, like 15, 16 months, you know, I would think that it would play a big part in not only showing the board but the fans, look, there's something that's gonna you know, there's something building here.
Mm-hmm.
Add that to whether, I mean, if he gets the Champions League spot,
yeah,
you know, it would be considered a very successful season for United.
Okay. Just definitely,
just in where they are in his two year plan or whatever it is. So I think that'll be quite significant. I do think this is an important match, not only because it's against City, but you know, it's another chance for silverware at a time where I think United really need it.
Yeah, yeah. What about the other semi? Aston Villa. How's it? We know Leicester. We know the Brendan Rodgers project. A trophy would go down well for them. How serious?
But Villa will be up for this. Villa will be up for this. Really? It's just the what squad that we have right now. You know, with McGinn out, Wesley
Heaton.
out, yeah. So Heaton's actually a big, very big worry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
we
don't
have the comfort. Yeah, very good goalkeeper. So again, we are at a certain point in time where we need to prioritize. But I think at the semi-final, you have to go all in.
Yeah. I think once you get to this stage, I mean, for Leicester as well, I think for Leicester, it's more... there'll obviously be more pressure because of where they are in the league and how well they've played so far. I think Jamie Vardy's been rested for two, three games
now. He's had a calf problem.
Was he rested or was he injured?
No, his wife gave birth, and then he had a calf problem. He's definitely back for this one.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, that's massive for Leicester. But even if they didn't have him, you know, Iheanacho's not a bad replacement.
Yep, yep.
And we've seen, you know, they can rotate their squad. We've seen that already. You know, and they've got good replacements that can easily step in.
Is this Leicester squad that's going to be broken up January transfer window and all that?
I don't think so, because you're seeing with the likes of Brendan Rodgers the emergence of clubs who are getting some loyalty from their players. Unless a Madison, I'm assuming that's who you're thinking, is going to be centre stage at Old Trafford if he goes to Manchester United. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't see why he moves.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't. Because at the moment he's a big fish in a ever increasing
pond. But how can Leicester turn down 45 million and Jesse Lingard?
I mean, I think at this stage of the season, it's
let
it's
me
hard
think
to
about
get.
That. Yeah.
It's a trick question.
I thought you were thinking about it. I think at this stage of the season, you know, even if United were to table, you know, 60, 70 million off of four,
they'd
four,
probably say no Madison. Now.
Is the Ericsson project gone?
It's still there. I mean, he hasn't signed for anyone yet. But you know, to get a player of that kind of caliber
at this time of the season, it'll be
foolish for Rodgers or Leicester to accept anything. And especially with the prospect of the Champions League coming, they'll need to keep hold of him.
All right, brilliant stuff. That's it. Enjoy your midweek football back on Friday. For now, it's thank you, Des Corkill.
Never forget the joys of the third round of the FA Cup.
Thank you, Craig Marais.
Thank you very much. Have a great week.
And thank you, Gogs.
Up the Villa.
Up the Villa, indeed. Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Off the Ball, every Monday on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.